Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Monday, September 12, 2022. I want to thank the Patreon members for a great Patreon meeting last night. Thank you so much. A lot to think about. I got to tell you, it was a pretty deep meeting about, it had a lot to do with forgiveness and forgetting and forgiving, neither of which I am known for. All right. Just to tell you flat out, I have a hard time forgetting and I have a hard time forgiving. And that's just me. I'm being open, honest, transparent, and brutally honest. Okay. Anyway, thank you for the tremendous meeting. I learned a lot. And a lot to think about as well. All right. Over the weekend, we commemorated the loss of nearly 3,000 of our own in New York City. Of course, Shanksville, Pentagon, and a lot of unanswered questions. On last Thursday, I had cited James Corbett asking some very difficult questions, or not really difficult questions, asking questions about 9/11.
And the loss or the murder?
The murder. It was an outright murder. And you know, look, here's the rabbit holes that we're into, okay? As we look at events today, bear with me on this, because this is everything we're seeing happening today, including and especially the upcoming midterms, 2024 elections, the raid on Mar-a-Lago. By the way, just so you know, I told you this Thursday. Look, the raids are not done. They're only going to get worse. They're only going to get more. And numbers, 35 to 50, people were saying, what's the difference between that number? Some were search warrants, some were subpoenas. And these are all Trump supporters, MAGA, America First people who believe in the rule of law, who believe in the Constitution. All right, that's the bottom line on this. The weaponized Justice Department, the Department of Justice, the FBI, which is nothing more than a Stasi-like arm of the leftist party. I won't even call them Democrats. They're socialists, they're communists, they're bastards, and they're anti-American. Every single friggin' one of them. All right. End of story. That's it. You don't like it, change the channel. All right. Because if you are voting for a Democrat, what is labeled on the ballot as a Democrat, you're voting for socialism. You're voting for communism, ultimate communism. You're voting for your own subjugation, and that's on you. And, you know, sadly, it's more than on you. It's on your offspring, if you have any, unless you're an incel, which most of them are, but I won't go there. I guess that's a generational term. I don't need to explain that. But here's the issue that we have. All right. When you sit right here where we're at, there are two ways, obviously, two different directions we can look. We can look ahead and see what's coming. I think we have a good idea what's coming. And we can look behind us and see how we got here. Both, in my view, are important to really understand. And it's difficult to explain to someone, I believe, who doesn't have that mental acumen to realize that this is an ongoing asymmetrical war that we're involved in, deeply involved in, that has been going on for decades, if not the better part, even more than a century. I'm not going to go back into the Wilson administration or go back into the early 1900s. I'm not going to do that. As we marked the 21st year subsequent following the attacks on America, attacks on the murder of Americans, which, again, so many unanswered questions. If you believe in the 9/11 Commission report, you're a fool. If you believe in the official narrative, you're a fool. And there's no change. If you're not open to saying, well, wait a minute, what's wrong with this? If you're not open to discussion, then you know what? Go your own way. But understand there are so many open questions. The $3 trillion, $2.33 trillion missing the day before Pentagon was hit. The unlikely strike on the Pentagon by a numbskull, an alleged numbskull Saudi pilot, right? By the way, the 28 pages, I want to say this, the 28 pages that were redacted for so long contained information that two of the 9/11 hijackers, many people haven't heard this. I want to just tell you this. The two primary, or two 9/11 hijackers, as they have been identified, rented rooms from a FBI confidential informant. This was kept secret by none other than Robert Mueller. Okay. So the FBI knew damn well what was going on 9/11 and before. And this goes back to the first World Trade Center bombing in 1993 when the FBI supplied the explosives. And, of course, Oklahoma City in 1995. You know, I got caught up in the investigation in that. I was in Boston at the behest of an author. I have a lot of respect for the author of a book. I'm not going to name the book. I'm not going to name the author, but I have a lot of respect for that author. I looked in the eyes. I mean, I was face to face with John Doe number two in Boston in, I don't know, 05, 06 or roughly in that time period. Yeah, I don't recall. I've got a complete file. I turned over everything to the FBI, which they did nothing. But when I looked in the eyes of this individual, there was no soul there. Okay. So this is what I've done as an investigator in with respect to Oklahoma City. And I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something. The cell that we found in Boston, unbelievable, still there, still operational. And of course, getting some, in my view, and this is just my view, investigative analysis, maybe that's the better statement, is being handled and protected by the FBI. Okay, so as we sit here today, 21 years hence 9/11, a lot of things happened in between that period of time. So was 9/11, was that the shot that set off this global, great global reset? Things are going to change. Was that that moment? Was that that, okay, here it is. This is a go signal. PNAC people together, Bush, Cheney, the whole shebang. Did that happen? Was that the kickoff? Now that's domestic. How about foreign policy? What kicked off Arab Spring? Arab Spring, if you think that was some sort of, you know, again, some sort of spontaneous uprising, you're foolish. That was a state, a CIA, State Department ordered a reset of the balance of power in the Middle East. I say all of that because all of these are interconnected right through the raid at Mar-a-Lago. What the FBI have been looking for at Mar-a-Lago and what they're still looking for, and they will take my word on this. This is September 12th, 2022. I can guarantee you search warrants right now are being prepared for Bedminster, as well as Trump Tower, as well as some other people associated with Donald Trump. I have that directly from a person who is in D.C., who is associated with the DOJ. They're preparing search warrants, additional search warrants. They want to take Donald Trump down. I don't care if you like him or don't like him. This is political opposition. This is war against political opposition. It should never, ever, ever happen in a constitutional republic in this country. It should never happen. But the reason, again, the reason for this is Donald Trump has, again, like him, don't like him, I don't care. He has the documents that exposed Crossfire Hurricane, exposed the FBI misfeasance, malfeasance, the criminal behavior of the FBI, including James Comey, including Robert Mueller, including Strzok, including all of the usual suspects. All right, that's what this is about, in part. Now, there's other parts, too, that involve Epstein. If you think that Epstein is not related to what's going on, again, you're not informed. There's an Epstein component to this. why do you think, just throwing this out there, why do you think we haven't seen any additional adjudication, litigation against the Johns or the people who helped Ghislaine Maxwell? Why? Why do you think Ghislaine Maxwell is sitting somewhere in a federal prison, right? Supposedly. Well, why? Why do you think that they're trying to bury that whole whole mess? Which, by the way, speaking of all this, and again, this sounds like all this is just, I'm just dumping a bunch of words and consciousness out. My Son Hunter, the film. Why do you think Hollywood is trying to suppress this film, My Son Hunter? Again, I'm asking you, have you seen it? Have you seen My Son Hunter? Do you understand what that represents? And you may say, well, Hunter was never part of any kind. It was never in the government. It doesn't matter. Hunter sold influence to the White House by way of his father, Joseph Biden, during the Obama-Biden regime. If you understand that, you'll understand both foreign and domestic policy. You'll understand Benghazi. You'll understand Ukraine, the energy, with the energy stuff that's going on in Ukraine, Russia, Germany, right now, the East in Europe, right now. You'll understand that. If you understand how long these lizard people, I don't know how else to describe them, these demonic, satanic, bastardized lizard people who have sold out their country. If you don't understand what is going on and how everything is connected, then you're not getting the full picture. Perhaps shame on me for not really walking you through step by step the connections. But the bottom line is this. You go back prior to, people will say, well, when did this new reset start? Did it start with COVID, the restrictions? No, it didn't start there. Did it start with, when did it start? Did it start with 9/11? Well, not really. Did it start with the Oklahoma City bombing in 95 or the World Trade Center in 93? No, it started a long time ago. All of these are hinge moments in time to bring you to the tyranny in which we now experience. Now, very quickly, the Hunter Biden laptop, I've wrote extensively about this in Wisconsin Christian News. In fact, the next column I have in Wisconsin Christian News is about the Hunter Biden laptop. We know with every degree of certainty, Jeff Carlson wrote about this, Hans Mensch wrote about this in Epic Times, that we know with every bit of certainty that the FBI actively worked to alter the outcome of a U.S. presidential election. That was in 2020, and they did that by making sure that none of the material that was on Hunter Biden's laptop ever saw the light of day through social media, excuse me, and media. Okay. Now, what was Hunter Biden involved in? He was involved in a lot of things. Remember, 10% for the big guy. But here's where it impacts today. National Pulse published today, Biden quietly loosens tech export rules to Chinese communist firms just days after a lobbyist brother joins White House. Okay, you talk about the most incestuous regime along with the Obama regime. Susan Rice, John Podesta, John Kerry, the usual suspects. Remember, Susan Rice, we did nothing wrong. That memo on the last day of the Obama White House occupation. But the White House, what they have done is quietly loosened Trump-era restrictions on sharing of U.S. technology with firms that President Trump blacklisted for their ties to the Chinese Communist Party, our sworn enemies, the people who want to take us over. And Biden is sucking on the teat of the Communist Party. What is wrong with you people? Not you people, the audience, but what is wrong with you people who are running interference for this potato head? It's not Biden. It's Obama. It's Rice. It's Jarrett. It's the people in D.C. right now. But obviously, you've got the bigger people. You've got the Soros. But it's just not Soros. I mean, how many? Look, I've got his address on my computer. Should I have said that, Eric the Tech? Should I have said that? I could post his home address. Probably not, but. So the FBI agents, if you want to come in, there's a swag bag for you. Inside is each of the swag bags for each agent is a copy of Hunter Biden's hard drive. Make sure you grab your swag bag on the way out.
And some Hagman coffee.
Yes, yes. Complimentary Hagman coffee. Detective's Choice, my favorite. But, okay. All right. But the ramifications of the actions of these people are being felt by you and I. And you know what? It's going to even get worse because now they're getting into some other things, including this climate, bogus climate BS. I saw a clip. I'm not going to play it because I got people on deck right now. I want to bring them in. That CNN had, I believe it was CNN. No, it was Russian Times brought over, brought a climate expert in. And so the anchor is saying, you have to see this. I should have had this for the show prep. He says, well, you know, it's the hottest ever here and wherever he was at. And you got floods in Pakistan, historic floods, and you got historic. This is all man-made climate change. And this guy that looked like he had Charlie Manson hair, okay? I'm just telling you. Smart guy. Said, no, this is all because of solar activity and things that are much bigger than man. If you think these are because of cow farts and what we as humanity do, you're out of your mind. That interview didn't go well. It really didn't, but it was fun to watch. So anyway, the reason I mention all of this is because we're all tied into what I believe is this mind meld by the social media, by the legacy media. These people are irrelevant. And by the way, if you're still on YouTube, I watched an interview with Andrew Tate, okay, who was with Alex Jones. And I like Alex Jones. Never heard of Andrew Tate. I had no idea who this guy was. Apparently, that makes me a dinosaur. I don't care. But he's saying, you know, he got a strike on YouTube and then he got banned by all these social media platforms and he got banned by, all the payment processing centers. Hey, welcome to the friggin' party. First of all, if you're playing in that sandbox, you shouldn't be playing in that sandbox. The only way to win with YouTube is not to play. The only way to win it with Twitter is not to play. Now, there are other social media platforms that are much more tolerant to free speech, Parler, Gab, Truth Social, and Getter, of course. I'm on all of them, at Doug Hagman or Douglas Hagman. You can find me. But here's the thing. Stop complaining. Get the hell off the social media and get your back end in gear. And let's start fixing what we need to fix. That's my message today. Let's start fixing what we need to fix. So with me right now, John Morse Thank you, Eric the Tech. He keeps me in line. Right now with me is Sam Andrews. I keep wanting to say Sam Adams. Give me two Sam Adams and a Manhattan straight up. All right. Now, Sam Andrews, HagmanReport.com/training. Look, there's a lot of stuff going on. You better get ready. You best get ready. Okay, so go to HagmanReport.com/training. I'm going to say that one more time. HagmanReport.com/training. Please do that. Go there. If you are a male or female, I don't think there's a box like for non, like on the 4473s or whatever, the non-binary. I don't think he's got any boxes that say, you know, I'm neither. But, and you want to learn how to protect yourself and your family. This is good. Now, I'm just going to toss this out there. We haven't worked out the details yet, but I know that Hagman Report is going to issue scholarships. Okay. I don't know how we're going to do that yet. I really don't. But I'm determined to do that because I believe in this cause. Because I'm going to tell you what, all right, I'm an old guy. When I say, I'm not really that old, but I'm older. I may rely on Eric the Tech. I'm sending him out first. In fact, I'm pushing him out. I will follow him in my little rascal with my jitterbug phone. Okay, with the 50 cal attached to the little rascal. I'm not sure if that'll work, but anyway. But look, I like Sam. I like the Freedom Center of USA. I don't like beeps in my ear like that because it just went through my brain. Okay, cut through my brain like, you know, jello. But so with me is Sam Andrews from hagmanreport.com/trainingfreedomcenterUSA. But before we get to the meat of, you know, before we get to solutions and stuff like that, I just want to ask what's on his radar, what he's been thinking about, what is most important to him as we go through this minefield of events. And it looks like it's going to be a dark, cold, and to some, concerning winter. Sam, how are you?
Doug, good to be with you. I'm probably better than I deserve to be, that's for sure. I guess what is on my mind, I fear for the American people. If I think about the Democrats, every time they lied about Trump, every time they tried to do something illegal to trick the American people, when they failed, they doubled down and tripled down. And here's the interesting thing. When you look at that particular pattern of behavior, we're in a situation right now where these criminals stole the 2020 election. They use the FBI, they use the DOJ, they use mail-in voter fraud, they use corrupt computer counting machines, corrupt ballot machines. They use seven different strategies to steal the election in 2020. And they were successful. So one of the main questions on my mind is, if they'll double and triple down when they get caught red-handed and they fail, what do you think they're going to do with the 2022 election after succeeding with the voter fraud they perpetrated on the American people in 2020? That is a deep concern of mine. And I fear for the American people what virus, what fear element they're going to introduce in October to justify their next grand voter fraud / steal this election strategy. That's probably the thing that's on my mind the most. The second thing that's on my mind that's most concerning for me is the anesthetization and the neutralization of the American Christian male. This is so pervasive. And 4 years ago, I thought, okay, East Coast Christians, you know, you grew up in New Hampshire, Boston, you know, New York, California in a liberal zone, and you're an American Christian and you live and act like a metrosexual. You don't act like a man. Okay. Not a big deal. We got farmers and ranchers and blue collar guys that are men, and they're Christian men with real faith and a real belief in Christ. And I thought this country will be okay. We got enough good men. And then the Texas church shooting happened, where we had this beautiful color video, not in a liberal zone, but in a conservative county in Texas, in a Christian church, a Protestant Christian church in Texas. And we had a bad actor come in and shoot two people. And I watched that video over 200 times. I watched every person in the pews individually and everything they did from before the shooting started to when it was ended. And I was stunned.
Why?
Because the Christian men in that church dove under the pews and left their women and children sitting up in the pews while the shooting was going on. And not only was I abhorred by what I saw, I was completely shocked that conservative men in a conservative county in a conservative Christian church would react that way. In fact, there was only one woman in the church that reacted appropriately. And if you look at the video and you come to the bottom of the screen, closest to the camera, left of center, you will see a grandmother with actual wisdom. When the shooting started, she dove to the ground, and her first concern was her grandson sitting right in front of her in the pew in front of her. And she dove to the ground, went out into the aisle, crawled up to the next aisle, grabbed her grandson's arm, his forearm, and tried to pull him to the ground to safety and told him to follow her. He shook, wrist rolled to get his forearm loose, and turned around to watch the shooting and just sit up in the pew and watch the gunplay. She finally turned and crawled out of the pew, down the aisle and out of the room and left the scene like any healthy, normal human being would have done. And I tell people all the time, the average Missouri coyote on the very first shot is leaving the area, gone.
So let me ask you a question. True story, based on what you just said. What does that say about me? This is back a couple of months ago. I was in one of the big box Lowe's, Home Depot stores. And actually, it was Lowe's, to be perfectly transparent. So I was with my wife. I was, my wife was to my right. I was in line, and we were at the checkout. There was no one beyond her, and there was no one behind me. And on the screen, when you look to see your total, it said active shooter. True story. It's an active shooter. So I kind of pushed her toward the door. I said, "Get out of here." I went for my gun. I looked at this guy behind the counter. I said, "Where's the active shooting?" Because I'm ready to go. I'm like, point me, give me, let me go. I want to go, please.
And
he said, no, we had a drill. And you know, I was disappointed for the rest of the night. Anyway, go ahead.
I hear you, brother. I absolutely hear you. And what was amazing to me, and you can watch this video, it's still available online, but don't take my word for it. Study the video yourself. And what was amazing to me is that they forced the security team of the church, the preacher did, to conceal carry their pistols behind their back with a suit coat over it. So the team that were there to secure the lives of the people in the church against this very type of threat took over 4.2 seconds to get their pistols into play. The first guy that went for his pistol was shot and killed. He was the first man to die because he had the pistol concealed carry behind his suit jacket, and he was sitting on a pew up against the wall in a chair on a pew up against the wall, and he couldn't get to his pistol because his coat had trapped his pistol because he was sitting on it. So when he stood up to free his coat and reached for his pistol and started to draw his pistol, by the time he got it to about his hip bone, the perp with the shotgun saw him drawing a pistol on him. And instead of shooting the guy he wanted to shoot, he turned and shot the guy drawing his pistol. And then he turned and killed the second guy. And then he turned and took a third shot at the preacher. But Jack, the head of the security team, finally got his pistol out, made an outstanding headshot on a walking target, and probably put an end to the perp in that moment. Most people don't even know there was a third shot taken, but you can see the flash on the wall. And I was told by a church member that, yeah, there was shotgun munitions that had penetrated the wall on the opposite side of the original shots taken. So he verified that. But the real tragedy is that men are no longer acquitting themselves as men. And we know from studies of the Department of Defense with 11 Bravos and U.S. Army, that only about 1% of professional soldiers will run towards the sound of gunshots. I understand this about human nature. But if you're not the type of guy that's going to run towards the sound of gunshots, if you haven't been in that situation and you haven't responded like that, you may not know what type of person you are. And either type of person, I'm perfectly okay with, regardless of what Revelation 21:8 says about cowards. I don't think leaving the scene is being cowardly. It might be just wise in certain circumstances to leave and not fight. But let's be really clear about the four different reactions to lethal threats. We have fight, which was your reaction when you saw active shooter. We have flight, which was the grandmother's reaction when the shooting started in the church. Those are the two places human beings go if they want to live, to fight or flight. Those are appropriate and effective responses. The other two responses are freeze and fawn. Let's talk about freeze for a second. That's when you dissociate. That's when your brain stops functioning normally. You don't know what to do. You're in a state of confusion. You're frozen. You may faint. You've dissociated. All of these things fall into the freeze category. Okay. Fawn is where you're in a threat situation.
Well, is it, spell that.
F-A-U-N.
Okay.
I believe. Okay. And fawn is what you do when you say to the person who's going to kill you or is holding you hostage, I'm on your side. I saw you guys on Facebook. You guys are awesome. I believe in what you're doing. What it is the beginning of Stockholm syndrome. So freeze and fawn are the two places that you go to die as a human being. Fight or flight are the two places where you go to live. And to understand that and to acquit yourself as a man is extremely important. Now, I'm not going to encourage someone to fight if they don't have the skills, if they haven't done their homework, if they don't have the discipline and the skill base. And I use the example of a deputy sheriff in Ohio 12 years ago was eating at a McDonald's early on a Saturday morning with his wife and his two kids. And they were enjoying their pancake breakfast from McDonald's and the sausages they had ordered. And this guy comes in and grabs the McDonald's manager by the neck and puts a revolver to her head, drags her into the back room where the safe is and orders her to empty the safe or he's going to blow her head off. Well, she empties the safe. While they're in the back room, the detective for the sheriff's department, who's also the firearms instructor, he's the best shot in his department, hands the keys to his wife and says, you get the kids out of here. I will call you when this is over. Now, this is a skilled man with a firearm. The perp comes out, has the manager by the neck still, gun still to her head, and orders her to clean out the registers. Well, the detective sees an opportunity and fires four shots at the perp. He hits the perp and kills the perp. Two shots that he fired hit the perp. One of the other two shots killed a seven-year-old girl that was behind the perp. Now, keep in mind, this is a skilled firearms instructor on a law enforcement agency, a legitimate law enforcement agency. This is a skilled man with his pistol. And he made a tragic mistake and killed an innocent girl.
Yep.
So am I going to take somebody that has a concealed carry class and a new pistol and tell them you have to fight? No.
I hope not.
Sometimes the wisest thing is to leave. You know, sometimes it's above your pay grade. It's not for you to solve. And the best thing to do is just leave. The problem I have with American Christian men are the men that freeze and fawn. Look at what happened. Look at what if you for 1 minute want to argue with what I'm saying, look at what happened in the COVID era when they left the casinos open and closed the churches and shut them down.
Thank you. Thank you.
I rest my case. Checkmate.
But you know, We put up with that shit. Masks to walk to your restaurant table because, you know, science. Masks that don't work. Masks that were hanging down. I mean, I saw so much crap. And you know what? This is when I realized that when I walked in to my old doctor's office, and they said, you got to wear a mask. I mean, I was the only one in a waiting room the size of a small friggin' auditorium, okay? That might be an exaggeration. But you got to wear your mask. Something that doesn't work anyway. And I said, no, there's no one here. And you're behind 6 inches of friggin' plexiglass in your own little... No, I'm done. And the doctor as well, you've got to get your shot. No, first of all, don't point at me like that. And second of all, no, I don't.
Good for you.
So I fired him. I fired my doctor. And I will never, there are places I will never frequent, and we can do that with our dollars. The reason I mention that, not because I'm some hard ass, although I'd like to think I am, but I'm not. I'm a loving guy. But you know what? Enough is enough. And what you just said too. Fighting for the Second Amendment. I love the guys that stand up there saying, we gotta fight. We gotta fight. And they're talking from behind a friggin' mask. What's that about?
That's called a conflict of intelligence is what that's about. That's about a guy who's so afraid and so ignorant. What does scripture say? My people perish because of their lack of knowledge. The problem the clowns have with me is that I did not sleep through science class. I understand that wearing a mask of the type they recommended and supposedly required by law, when there really were no laws, but that type of mask trying to keep a virus from transmitting is no different than putting a chain link fence around your backyard to keep the mosquitoes out. It functionally does not work. And how do I know this? Because I actually know the size of viruses. When you look at a virus, you're looking at something that's like 0.2 microns. If you don't have a filter 0.1 micron or smaller, you're not filtering viruses. You are not stopping anything. Do you ever see that guy that put a bunch of white powder in his face where the powder was probably 180 times the size of a virus?
I think everyone's seen them all.
And he coughed, and the cloud of powder comes through the mask, and all the particles are 200 times bigger than a virus. And I love that guy because he said, okay, here's a practical way to illustrate to complete morons that are ignorant of science that this isn't working, that this is a lie that we should not be living. Because there are health consequences to wearing these masks. And these masks are functionally, physically, demonstrably, provably not doing what they say they're supposed to do. And so good on that grown man for standing up for the truth. But how many people are standing up for the truth?
And see, if everyone who, the biggest thing, well, I don't want, you know, this is not my hill to die on. I have not met, by the way, I have not met a Christian conservative who has identified a hill to die on. Not that we should die on any hill. We should make them die on the hill. But I have not met any Christian conservative. You know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
What hill? Are we ever going to find that hill to die on? Or are we going to just sit here with our winkies in our hand?
It's a great question. Where do you draw the line? And I'll tell you what, we better draw the line in two places, free and fair elections, and you will not take my rifle.
Oh,
if you don't draw the line in those two places, you and your family will be exterminated from this earth.
And you saw this, Sam. I want you to comment on this. Visa, MasterCard, Discover Card, all the major credit cards now have a special code. You purchase a rifle, you purchase ammunition from a store using a credit card. They code that. and they follow, they're creating databases of what you are buying at Sportsman's Warehouse or whatever. That was just an example. Whatever armory or okay.
Well, how do you think the FBI got all of the data on what Stuart Rhodes purchased? It's already been used against Americans in court. Now, I'm not a fan of Stuart Rhodes. He's an FBI informant. But the fact is that they have this data on everyone that uses a credit card for a purchase.
You know, okay, Sam, look, man, you say he's an FBI informant. I don't know that.
I know he is.
Okay, okay.
I don't say he is. I know he is.
Okay, all right.
Gave up his database of Oath Keeper membership to the FBI to get off the no-fly list.
Okay. Okay. Look, man. I mean, hey, if you can back it up, I'm fine with that. I just, you know, I met him. I've had coffee with him. That's about it. Okay. I mean, so what? I've done that with hundreds of people that I don't even know. So, but okay. So,
well, I was a state leader for the Oath Keepers and ran one of the only two successful operations Oath Keepers has ever been involved with, which was the defense of businesses and people in Ferguson and the Sugar Pine Mine operation. Those are the only two things Oath Keepers ever done that worked out well. And we had to throw out the people that Stuart Rhodes sent in, and because we figured out that they weren't legit and they were pre-approved by Stuart Rhodes, and we had to get rid of them.
Were they working with the FBI?
Yes.
Okay. So right there, look, and I've been I've worked with the FBI, with the Department of Justice back in the 90s. People know that. Okay, so I get how the system works, all right? How does that happen? It has to happen willingly.
Well, Doug, let me ask you a question. Let's talk about the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, any large patriot organization you know. Who was the Proud Boys run by? Enrique, FBI informant. Stuart Rhodes, Oath Keepers, FBI informant. If you take an honest look at large militias, large patriot organizations, you will always find in the top five FBI people. Every large organization like that is infiltrated by FBI. Because the FBI sees patriotic Americans as the enemy, not as something to defend their life, liberty, and property.
And by the way, you know, people say, well, 99% of the rank and file are good. How about 99% are rank and vile? Okay, because I have not... anyone carrying out the orders of Mar-a-Lago, anyone carrying out the orders of the search and seizure warrants or subpoena, that kind of stuff to me, okay? No, you're not keeping to your oath. And especially
brown shirts, order takers, brown shirts.
Correct.
Okay. Now, are there 12 good people in the FBI, 15 good people in the FBI? I think we're up to like 19 or 20 informants inside the FBI. Okay, maybe there's 20 FBI agents that are good people. Maybe there's 20,000 that are order taking brown shirt communist. I don't even want to use the word.
Amen. Period.
Well, let me ask you this question, Doug. How many people could Hitler have killed in his life if he did not have men willing to visit violence on his behalf?
How many people could Hitler have killed?
Not many.
No.
And how many wound up dying because there were grown men willing to do immoral things on Hitler's behalf? It is the order takers that are the problem, Doug. It's not the scumbags at the top. There will always be a scumbag trying to take control. It is the immoral people that lack moral framework that are willing to visit violence on the children of God that are the problem.
I remember just briefly, and this will always stick with me, back in the 80s, I was in an academy, police academy, and there was a talk. Lined us up and said, each one of you will follow orders. This is a paramilitary organization. This will always be a paramilitary. This is a police department now. This will always be a paramilitary organization. You will follow orders without question. That was, I mean, that, and right then I thought, wow, the power that these people have or think they have. Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
Well, let me give you an example of not being an order taker. The Department of Justice sent their representatives to the Unified Command meetings in Ferguson and ordered the Missouri State Troopers to shoot my men on the rooftops protecting women and children from arson. And you know what our state troopers told them? Oh, hell no, we're not doing that. They are better armed than we are, and we are not starting a gunfight with them. They have way more ammo than we do, and they have way more training, and we are not doing that. And so what did they do? They sent the FBI in to shoot us and try and make it look like the new Black Panther Party and the KKK were in a race war. And they got caught.
But see, this is nothing new. I mean, you go back, that's why I started out by saying 93, World Trade Center. That bombing in the basement would not have happened had the FBI, a couple of agents, supplied real explosives to the people who they cultivated to go out and plant the explosives. It would never happen. 13 people would still be alive. Thousands would be uninjured. Okay, same with 9/11. Same with, I believe, Oklahoma City, given the backstory there. And every major event, I'm not going to say false flag, every major event that has taken place that has FBI fingerprints in it is a bunch of crap.
Yep. Look at all of the mass shootings, the Boston bombing, you name it. Anything they're trying to use to justify taking rifles and guns from the American citizens, 98% of those people have a prior relationship with FBI agents. Now, 95% of the people I've met in my life, and I'm over 60 years old, I've met a lot of people.
And yet you look so young.
I've trained over 12,000 people in my career.
Okay.
Think about that. Think about all the people I've met in my life. 95% of those people have never met an FBI agent in their entire life.
Wow.
95 have never even met one. Now, when you think about all of the mass shootings, all of these huge events, the Boston bombing, and the FBI has a prior relationship with over 95% of these people, Doug, I have been saying for 30 years, the FBI and the DOJ are a criminal cabal and they need to be disbanded. And, you know, right after Ferguson, Hannity wanted to interview me and I'm talking on the phone to his producer and he jumps on and I told him the FBI is corrupt. I told him what the FBI did in Ferguson. And he said I was crazy and I was a nut job and that he wasn't going to interview me because of what I said about the FBI. Well, I sat in my living room 2 weeks ago while Sean Hannity said to the world on his show on Fox News, the FBI is a criminal organization. They need to be disbanded and defunded.
So you were just a little bit ahead of your time.
I was only 8 years ahead of Sean on that one. You know, yeah. Thank you, Sean, for coming with us. Where have you been for the last decade?
See, now here's the answer, or here's the question I've got. We're in the soup right now. Okay. No matter how you look at it, we are in the soup. And I'm so sick and tired of sitting back here. And that's why sometimes I'm not back here. I'm out doing stuff. And the stuff I'm doing, I'm not going to say, but there's things I'm doing, working with other people, attempting to create solutions. I'm so sick and tired of listening to podcast after podcast after broadcast after whatever. Oh, this is bad. These people are bad. This is what happened. Okay, we know it friggin' happened. We know who the bad actors are. Now, here's my question. Are we going to just keep talking about this and keep rehashing this? Which, in a way, I think it's important because not everyone's on the same page yet. But those people who are in the advanced class, what are we going to do?
Well, there's a couple of things that the American people need to be very clear on. The first thing is that you don't stand up against authority with no teeth. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. The guy in Tiananmen Square who stood up against the Chinese government, 7 minutes later, he was grease in the tank treads of an armored vehicle. They literally ran over the guy. Okay, so there's no point in standing up if you don't have the ability to fight. That ought to be number one. But the second thing you have to be extremely clear on is that the government and our founding fathers knew this instinctively, and they lived it with the British government. The government cannot, under any circumstances, have a monopoly on violence. In other words, if you don't own a weapon and you are not skilled with that weapon, and you don't communicate with your neighbors who are skilled with weapons, the government has a monopoly on violence. They can do to you whatever they want to do. What I'm shocked at this point is why Trump doesn't have a private security team around his homes. Because I would not tolerate one illegal raid on my home, much less multiple raids on my multiple homes.
Okay. Now, to be fair, in today's environment, that paper, that piece of paper, that search warrant was a legal document. Okay. Now, to be fair, was it legally obtained? Well, I suppose litigation will bear that out. I don't believe it was based on the FISA, all the other chicanery. But the question you asked, I've got to ask the same question, because if it was me, you damn well know, okay, I'm going to have some sort of vetting process to make sure that the people who are guarding the palace, so to speak, are guarding the palace and guarding the people inside the palace. Because what I saw on that raid should never have happened the way it happened. Not one box should have been taken out of that place until the attorneys were there. And by the way, if I was an attorney for Trump and told to wait outside, are you kidding me? Okay, they'd be dragging me off in cuffs. They'd have to drag me out in cuffs. No.
They'd be dragging me out in a body bag.
Exactly.
Let me tell you what happened at Sugar Pine Mine. The BLM, Bureau of Land Management, federal agency, was trying to steal one of the richest hard rock gold mines in Oregon. And 100 patriots went out there and surrounded the mine because they had burned over 100 miners out of their cabins. They had lit cabins on fire with miners inside their own cabin. This is your federal agency.
Wait. When was this?
Back in 2015.
How come I'm just hearing about this now?
Because you never asked me about it.
Okay, I'm asking you about it. Give me some background on this. Okay.
So there were three guys that had a legitimate paper trail and owned this hard rock gold mine on Quartz Creek near Grants Pass in Oregon. The BLM tried to run these three guys off their mine. One of the Patriots' wives actually worked in the BLM office and filmed with her phone, videoed the director of that local BLM office shredding the paperwork that proved these guys owned the mine. And she filmed him doing it with her cell phone. What the BLM director of that local office didn't know is that up in Portland, Oregon, at the bigger office of the BLM, there were still copies of that paperwork. And she made a phone call very discreetly, and they immediately sent a guy up there to secure copies of that paperwork. Okay, so now the BLM's trying to bully these three old men off their mine that they legally own, and they called and asked for help. And so 100 patriots showed up from around the country to defend this guy's gold mine. Now, once we had 100 armed men on that gold mine property, they sent Triple Canopy out. The BLM hired Triple Canopy to go and do a threat assessment of the area.
What's that, Triple Canopy?
Triple Canopy is like a Blackwater-type organization.
Oh, okay.
It's a private paramilitary organization. That's when I got a phone call. Sam, we got helicopters. They're probing us. They're searching us. They're documenting the situation. We need a higher level of expertise here. Will you bring a team up? So I brought a team of guys up there to assess the situation. And that's how I got involved. Now, what turned out is the changes that I made the BLM pause. Why did they pause? Because there were armed men with 50 cals on the ridges all around the mine, and that BLM decided they didn't want to play anymore. What that did was it bought the miners enough time to go to court and win. And this is the problem. When you stand up against the feds with real teeth, you buy yourself time to get some legitimate legal process going. If you don't stand up, you get bulldozed. It's over. And that's what's going to happen to this whole country if this whole country does not start standing up.
Well, okay. But now a counter argument to that could be, well, Sam, they could bring out the gunships, you know, and clear that up in a nanosecond.
The gunships.
Or whatever, you know, I don't know, whatever they got, whatever the military, whatever.
Fly your thermal drones over Quartz Creek. Document what you think you see. Make a plan of attack based on your sensors and what they tell you. Some of us are smart enough to have countermeasures for that stuff. So bring it on. Some of us invented how to play the game, and we play the game at a higher level than you and your clowns. So bring it on.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a pretty gutsy thing to say, and I believe you. I mean, but how many? But see, here's the thing. We don't have how many people have the knowledge and skill set that you have? Not everyone's got that. I certainly don't. I'd be the guy bringing you like the ammo and stuff from the water and the MREs. And
you could come to you could come to a training class and start building your knowledge base. You can sell your jet ski that you don't use anymore and buy a thermal sight.
Hey, now
you can get training. You know, it's all a matter of priorities, Doug. It's not like American men don't have resources. But look, if you have 50 guns in your gun safe collecting dust and you don't have one good AR-15 with a thermal sight on it that you can fight with at night when you're actually going to need it, and you don't have a suppressor on that weapon system to kill the flash so you don't throw out this neon sign saying, shoot me next, you don't understand the game and you don't understand how to prioritize as an American male.
But I work at Tim Hortons. Okay, I work my butt off. I get paid barely minimum wage. How can I afford something like that?
Sell your jet ski.
Sell your shotgun
that you have an emotional attachment to. Let me ask you a question. When they come to your neighborhood to kill you and your neighbors or to haul you off into train cars and camps, how much good is the jet ski going to do you? And see, this is why don't men prioritize? And the answer is they don't believe we're at war. They don't understand we are actually at war right now.
And there it is.
Because it's not kinetic. It's not a shooting war right now.
And folks, that's kind of where I was in my mind. That's where I was getting at. The belief system with the American people right now, I have not met one person yet who believes that we are at war outside of Eric the Tech, you, and maybe a handful of others in this business.
Yeah. John understands that.
Yeah.
If you don't believe we're at war.
Yeah. You know, folks, that's a great book. Talk about that just for a moment.
This is General Spaulding.
Yeah.
Who talks about the Chinese covert war against the U.S. and the rest of the world. And it's real and it's well done. And it's something that every American male should read. There's another book. If you don't believe the Chinese are evil, I want you to know that a doctor who has trained at the Freedom Center wrote this book.
Okay.
Unprecedented evil persecution by Torsten Trey. Okay. If you don't believe the Chinese are evil, I dare you to read that book. And you will see what they are doing to a particular race of people in China. and it is a permanent, it is a warning. It is a leading indicator of what they are going to do to you, because the Chinese government, the Chinese Communist Party, has our politicians in our pocket. Our deep state has allied with them. And what they're doing to those people in China is what is coming your way. The social credit system, the digital banking system, money systems, all of that is all coming to America if you don't stand up and stop it.
Which is the exact reason why I mentioned the Natalie Winters piece. And my goodness, I'm sorry, Raheem Kassam, about Biden quietly loosens tech export rules to Chinese communist firms just days after Huawei lobbyist brother joins the White House. I mean, if you can't see, folks, if you can't see this, I don't know. You're not reading the right place. The link will be in the program description box at thehagmanreport.com. Sam, by the way, you're going to be solo, it appears to me, unless you shake your head yes or no. He's going to be solo? John's having issues. The string on the toucans aren't not long enough. So it's just you, me, Eric the Tech, and everyone else out there for the remainder of the program. I wanted to let you know that before I get back to Sam Andrews. Freedom Center USA, but go to HagmanReport.com/training because we're about solutions, not about very open about problems. Again, that's Freedom Center USA /training. Look, folks, what'd I say? Oh, yeah, okay. HagmanReport.com/training. There it is right there on your screen. For those people visually impaired, otherwise driving or whatever, again, HagmanReport.com/training. And we're offering solutions. And I promise, folks, I will. Look, if you do have economic hardships, I promise this, I will work out some way, shape, or form, some scholarships so to get you there and to get you trained. I'm not going to send 1,000 people there. I just couldn't afford it. But we're going to be working closely with Sam and Freedom Center USA to get it done. Before I get back to Sam, I just want to say one thing. We talked a little bit about the coming economic issues. The Fed's going to be raising the rates later this month. They've got to. They've got to. Okay. If you understand economics, they've got to. Modern monetary theory, which is the basis for the Great Reset, you've got to understand they're going to be raising rates. Now, take a look at your credit card. Take a look at the rates on your credit cards if you have them. And I know you do. Okay. Because we do. We have to, because of business expenses, to keep track of certain things. So anyway, with interest rates on the rise, now is the time. Right now is the time to pay off your credit cards with a fixed rate credit card consolidation loan from my friends at Lightstream, lightstream.com/Hagman. I'm going to tell you what, these people know their business. They're good at what they do. They're the best at what they do, in my view. They've helped members of my family out. They've helped us out. They have lowered our liability. I'm telling you right now, they've given us additional discretionary income so we can use that income to prepare for what is coming. A credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream can help you pay off your credit cards and lock in a low fixed interest rate. Rates start at 5.73% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. Plus, it's fixed. The rate's fixed, so it'll never go up over the life of the loan. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. No fees whatsoever. You can even get your money as soon as the same day you apply. These people know what they're doing. They do it all the time. They've helped so many people. Again, I cannot speak high enough about lightstream.com/Hagman. If you want to save in, yeah, I mean, hey, if you like paying high interest, go for it. If you like throwing your money away, go for it. In fact, I'll send you my address. But lightstream.com/Hagman, they will fix your debt situation. I'm telling you, it's a great company. Just for my listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. It is LIGHTSTREAM, lightstream.com/Hagman, HAGMANN. By the way, This is subject to credit approval. Rates range from 5.73% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto-pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You're going to thank me later. You'll be glad you did. One more thing. Again, the rates are going up. I'm telling you right now, the interest rates are going up. So do this now. Do it today. And I want to thank my fine friends at NuPro, N-U-P-R-O, N-U-P-R-O. I love my dog. And if you've got a dog, a four-legged furry friend, even, if you got a pet mouse. I don't know what you got, but I'll tell you what. NuPro, N-U-P-R-O, nutritional supplement for dogs. They've got just a wonderful joint compound. Immune system, I'm telling you right now, the immune support is just out of this world. I've noticed a tremendous difference on my co-pilot, Lady the Studio Dog, her fur, her joints. I mean, she's like a puppy. She's 8 years old, just had 8th birthday. We had a cake and everything. You should have been there, balloons. But I'm telling you what, it's good stuff. NuPro, N-U-P-R-O, NuPro.com. Tell them Doug Hagman sent you. With me is Sam Andrews, HagmanReport.com/Training Freedom Center USA, talking about what's going on, talking about solutions, talking about what we need to do, and most importantly, talking about what we are going to do. Sam, thank you for your patience. Where were we? It's just...
We're about to talk about solutions, and I think the financial situation you just brought up by consolidating your credit card debt is an extremely wise move. So I venture the question, what does a strong country look like? Well, in our form of republic, a strong United States is made up by strong states, and strong states are made up by strong counties, and strong counties are made up by constitutional sheriffs and strong individuals. And so when you get to the foundational level, you're talking about yourself as a person. What level of personal self-care? Do you eat the right foods? Do you exercise? Do you maintain yourself in a good physical condition? Are you logistically sound? Do you have your finances in order? You're paying ridiculous credit card debt. You're pissing money out the door that could be used to buy a thermal sight, to buy more ammo, to get training, to buy a better car that's reliable or has better gas mileage. I mean, there's all kinds of things that being logistically sound will do to help you in every way in your life. And that's why Major General Hollingsworth was famous for saying amateur study tactics, professional study logistics. First guy to run out of food, water, ammo, or any other critical resource is going to lose. And this country's at war. We need strong individuals. We need individuals that aren't smoking, they're not drinking, they're out exercising, they're eating right food, they're training with their weapons. They can shoot, move, and communicate. We cannot live in a country where the federal government has a monopoly on violence. Let me tell you something. If you don't eat the right things, and you drink alcohol too much, and you're smoking all the time, and you're not exercising, you won't be able to fight for 3 minutes without going into oxygen debt and taking yourself out of the fight. You put a weapon in your hands, and you add a couple of spare mags of ammo and maybe a first aid kit. You don't even need body armor. And I move you from this location to that location 30 yards away, and then move you 20 yards to this location, and you go through two magazines and you don't take care of yourself, you're sucking air so bad at the end of that exercise, it's embarrassing. So one of the things that Christian men are going to have to figure out really quick is your own level of self-care may likely decide whether you survive or not. You've got to take care of yourself. You've got to get you and your wife and your kids eating the right stuff, not eating sugar. You got to get the smoking and the alcohol out of your life. You got to get some regular exercise, and you got to get some legitimate skills with your firearms. Otherwise, you're nothing but a target.
And a liability. You know, I've often heard people say, well, you know, I'll just go over to this camp, you know, this group of people or that group of people. Yeah, okay. They're going to welcome you with open arms if you're a liability to them. I don't think so. And you know what? As I don't hear people talking about this a lot. What you mentioned, getting ourselves optimally conditioned. And you know what? Even at my advanced age, you're a heck of a lot older than I am. No, you're not. But we're both close in age. And we have to start. I mean, we always have to. I know you can outrun me. I know you can out. There's a lot. I mean, you could whoop me. I know that. But you know what? We can do things for ourselves, and we should do things for ourselves to make sure that we are not a liability to our family. And that bothers me too. When I look at others, I look at myself and I think, I don't want to be a liability to my family. I don't want that. And, so very well stated, very, very well. Look, stated.
I've had students come to the Freedom Center, the basic class, and they weigh 360 pounds and they're miserable, and they have their legs swell up, their ankles swell, their knees swell. They don't even get to finish the class. And we give them a book. If I have it with me. We give them this book called The Plant Paradox, written by Dr. Gundry. It's the best book ever written on what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat. Highly recommend it. And I give them a book and I say, you need to read this book. You need to apply this information, this truth to your life. And then when you've done that for 6 months, you come back here and we'll train you. And I've had many students, hundreds of pounds overweight. One guy from South Dakota, he's like the dearest man. He's like the most incredible guy. Been in a bad car accident, ran his own business, got to overeating. And I mean, this guy had a wife, the most beautiful woman you've ever laid eyes on. She looked like a blonde beauty queen. Absolutely stunning, intelligent, beautiful woman he was married to. And he was like, yeah, I've been overweight. You know, I don't think my wife's really attracted to me anymore for obvious reasons, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, read this book, start applying it to your life. Don't buy anything from the grocery store that isn't on this list of what you should eat, and change your life. He called in to the John Moore Show about 6 months ago, and he's called me on the phone privately, and he said, I'm so glad I came and trained with you guys, because the information I got, the book, the training, everything, it motivated me. And I got the book, and I started eating the right stuff. I've lost over 95 pounds. And my wife said to me for the first time in 8 years, she's actually attracted to me. And he had tears in his eyes when he said that to me.
That's a big deal.
I mean, it is a huge deal to learn how to take care of yourself. You know, you go to an average church and the preacher's going to preach on the two greatest commandments. He's going to tell you, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, people don't really hear what it says. You go to Mark 12:29, you can read it for yourself. When the scribe asked Jesus, what is the foremost commandment? What's the most important thing? Jesus' answer was, the Lord our God is one. Jesus did not claim to be God. He said his Father was God, and there's only one. And you shall love him with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So there's that part about loving yourself that's kind of overlooked by a lot of people. And, you know, agape, the unselfish love in the Greek culture, is the foundation of love. And you need to be unselfish. You need to love your neighbor as yourself, but you also have to love yourself. That's part of the equation. And taking good care of yourself makes you very useful to your family, your friends, and your neighbors when things get ugly. One of the first things they teach you in the Marine Corps is you've got to take care of yourself, because if you're not in good shape, you can't help the guy in the foxhole next to you, can you? If you do something and good get shot, you're not only cannot help your battle buddy, but you're a liability, because he's got to drag your heavy butt off the battlefield and get you medical care. So you neutralize two people when you screw up. I can't impress how important the level of self-care is. Get to the grocery store, start buying the stuff on the outside of the grocery store, not the stuff in the center. Eat the food that God made for you, not the food that's processed. Start getting in shape. Start an exercise program that makes sense for you. It makes no difference where you start. I don't care if you're 200 pounds overweight. It does not matter where you start on the path. It only matters the direction that you're headed. So get the information, get the truth, and start heading the right direction.
You know, I would often, or I used to put up a picture of Las Vegas from the 50s, or early 60s, I guess it was, a pool, and the people around the pool. You could tell their bodies were shaped differently than they are today. One from the early 60s, one from today. And obviously, you know, there's a huge difference in body shapes, and people will say, well, that's body shaming. No, it's not. It's an illustration as to what the power structure has done to our food supply to make us, to cause us to look like that. And the assets that you have, including that book, and I'll ask you to repeat the title of that book, but you know, if you eat properly, eat the right things, make sure it's not processed food, that all that lunch meat and you know, all that stuff, you can tell the difference. So what they have done to us,
yeah, or they've liked this, Doug.
What we've allowed, exactly, we've allowed that to happen. And
food pyramid,
yes,
from the 60s? Do you remember all that garbage?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Total junk.
Yeah.
Complete, total lies. So just from my personal experience, I was a Division I athlete in college. I played 3 sports. I've made money in 4 different sports as a young man. So I've been with some really smart trainers and doctors and people that I thought were real experts on how an athlete should fuel his body, take care of his body, train his body. I had that experience as a young man. It's very fortunate. Here's the problem. We've been lied to our whole lives. Now, there's a heart surgeon named Dr. Stephen Gundry, who's done heart transplants on children, more heart transplants than any other doctor, I think, on children. And he's invented a lot of things that are used in heart transplants. But after decades of transplanting hearts, he noticed that certain sets of twins and certain people that had very similar genetics, one guy had big problems with his arteries and heart, and the other person didn't. And, of course, the question why to a man that intelligent has to come up. Why is this guy having problems, and this guy that has almost the same exact genetics not having problems? And he started to look into diet, and he started to do research. And that's what led him to develop a product line and books and information on what you actually should be eating. It's fairly simple. You get the sugars, the high fructose corn syrup, the glyphosate out of your diet, you get the lectins out of your diet, and you get polyphenols, butyrate, and MCTs into your diet. That's it in a nutshell. Now the question is, okay, what foods do I eat that get this stuff out of my diet, and what foods do I eat that keep the good stuff in my diet? And it's absolutely remarkable. So I had shoulder surgery in 2018. And I race super bikes, these 200-mile-an-hour bikes that go around road courses. You're dragging your knee at 160 miles an hour around big, fast corners and stuff like that. And I had shoulder surgery. I couldn't ride my bike for over a year. And I was frustrated because I was trying to weight train. I was trying to get my strength back so I could get back on this fast bike and go to these new tracks that I'd never ridden on, something I really enjoyed, and wasn't making progress. And a buddy of mine said, here, slap that book in my hand, The Plant Paradox by Dr. Stephen Gundry. You need to read this. I said, what do you mean, The Plant Paradox? What's this book about? He said, well, you need to get more protein from plants and a little less from meat. I'm not telling you to go vegetarian. The book doesn't tell you to go vegetarian. It just tells you don't eat more than 6 ounces of meat in any one sitting and get the majority of your protein from plants because your body uses that better. I said, Bo, I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me. I've never been able to make progress in the weight room unless I'm eating a big steak every night or a lot of beef. And he goes, you're crazy. I go, give me one example of why I'm wrong. He said, you ever been to a rodeo, boy? And Bo was a bull rider when he was young. He said, you ever been to a rodeo? I said, of course. He said, have you ever walked up to a bull in a pen and looked at a bull? I said, yeah. He goes, how much muscle does that bull have? A lot of muscle. He goes, how much meat did that bull eat to grow that muscle? Now shut up and read the book. That's what he told me. So I read the book. And I'll tell you, Doug, within 3 weeks of me going to that Gundry diet, between pages 258 and 262, there's a list of stuff not to eat and a list of stuff to eat. Within 3 weeks of going on that diet, all the swelling in my body disappeared. I could literally only close this finger about that far. Mm. And within 3 weeks of going on his diet, I could make a total fist again. All the inflammation left my body. I started going into the weight room and healing so fast. My physical therapist was telling me I need to slow down because I'm going to start lifting too heavy weights. Now, I'm 55 years old. I can bench press 260 pounds. I can work out with 180 and do 12, 15 reps. And for an old man, that's not too bad. But I would not be there if I had not read this book and changed my diet. For the first time in my life, in 20 years, my body is now pain-free. And for a motorcycle racer to say that, who's crashed at over 160 miles an hour six times and lived to tell about it, that is quite a claim for a guy like me to say, I am now pain-free in my body for the first time in 20 years. Read the book. Bo was right.
You know, again, it all comes down to where your priorities are. I believe it all comes down to where your priorities are. Because look, I used to sit on surveillance. I used to pound the Mountain Dews, eat cold pizza, you know, in the back of a surveillance van for days at a time. I get it. Okay. All right. I get it. And, my doctor that I have now, it was my old doctor. He looked at me and says, you're gonna kill yourself doing that. And he was right. And I had to stop doing that. You can only do that for so long before you just, you know, burn out, but you're right. So we do have to apply these. So part of the solution, the bigger solution here that we're talking about, if we're going to maintain the fight, we have to take care of ourselves, and please do that. And then of course, the other aspect of that too, if you are going to play that position in the fight, of a warrior kind, maybe warrior is the wrong term, but a fighter. You better know what you're doing.
A patriot defending his life, liberty, and property.
Yeah, you better know what you're doing, right? I mean,
you have to know. You can't guess. You have to know. You have to know how to use cover. You have to know how to keep your gun in the fight. You have to know how to clean your fights, your gun, so it runs and doesn't crap out on you in the middle of a conflict. You have to know this, and your neighbors have to know. The theory of the lone wolf going underground in his lair hidden in the woods to survive the apocalypse, that is garbage, okay? I could take my thermal sight, any one of them, weapon, monocular, drone, whatever, and in 5 minutes I can find a vent in your underground lair, and I can work through any booby traps you lay up and throw 10 gallons of fuel down your vent and light you up, and you will have dug your own grave. You will die in your underground lair. The lone wolf underground lair thing is a myth. The only way you defend freedom, your life, your liberty, and your property is with a community of people who are skilled and knowledgeable and bring their skills to the collective group and are willing to stand together and oppose evil. That is the only winning strategy. It is a strategy that God demands. Galatians 5:1. You know, I took a lot of crap from three guys after quoting Galatians 5:1 on your show a couple weeks ago. People wrote in on Rumble and other places, commented and said, oh, that Sam guy, he lied, he twisted scripture, he did this, he did that, you know, he was wrong. Okay, well, they claim that in 5:1, where it says, it is for freedom that Christ sets you free. Therefore, stand firm and do not allow yourselves to be burdened by the yoke of slavery again. The people arguing the points against me claim that the yoke of slavery was sin. They were wrong. You go to the original Greek and you look up the word for yoke. It means the scales. It means the law. And what Christ set you free from was the law. Crystal clear, not even up for debate. The yoke is the law. And when Christ set you free from the law, he set you free from the law and the governments that run the law. Why? Because you are required as a Christian, as a disciple of Christ, to do the moral thing, not the legal thing. Have we not been talking about order takers doing the legal thing?
And there it is.
And there it is. I rest my case. We're done with that argument.
You know, and a lot of people are going to say, well, this is misapplied scripture or whatever. Okay, fine. You know what? If you believe that, God bless you. I mean, go in peace, I guess. But the bottom line here, and with the remaining time we have, we only have about 4.5 minutes. If you can do this, what's required? Because, again, folks, we've had people come to us and say, would you endorse this training? Would you endorse that training? Would you endorse it? And, you know, I have said no, 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 and no. This is the only training so far that I've said yes, because I understand what's going on here. Okay. I would put my imprimatur on it. Not that it needs it, because it doesn't, but this is where I chose to hook my wagon to, if that's a way to say this. What's needed? Again, solution time here. Somebody wants to find out more, but or they've said, okay, I'm going to do this. What do they need in order to attend your training session?
Well, you need some basic equipment. You need an AR-15 semi-auto rifle. You need a semi-auto pistol. You need an outside-the-pants holster for your semi-auto pistol. You need a single-point sling, preferably for your rifle. If you have a sling that can go single point, dual point quickly, that's even better. You need a battle belt or a belt with some mag pouches so you can train with multiple magazines on your body. And you need ammo.
Oh, there it is right there. Okay.
And you need electronic ears. And it's on my website. It's on your website. You do need some basic equipment, and that equipment is not cheap. A good semi-auto pistol is $600 to $900. A good semi-auto rifle is going to be between $1,500 and $3,500, depending on how good a quality of rifle you buy. Your red dot optic for your pistol is going to be $400. Your red dot optic could be $450 to $800 to $900 for a nice aim point, a red dot. The reason we use red dots, not scopes, is because scopes are eye relief sensitive. Red dots are not. And when you shoot from behind cover and you learn how to actually fight from behind cover, you need a sight that is not eye relief sensitive. Iron sights and scopes do not work. Red dot sights do work. And that's why your SEAL team operators have red dot sights on their weapon system. So
I've heard
you
that.
Need some basic equipment and some electronic ears, so that our instructors aren't yelling at you. They can speak to you in a normal tone of voice, because information transfer goes much better when it's done on a cognitive basis, where the tension level is low, the voices are calm, and you can absorb the information without tension distracting you and keeping you from hearing the instructors. So electronic ears are required for our training. That way we don't have to yell or raise our voice. Things stay really calm and people learn really fast.
That's ear protection with, basically tweaked ear protection is what you're saying, right?
Yes, sir. You have an electronic computer that senses the gun go off,
right?
Cuts the sound to protect your ear from the gunshot, but amplifies the sound of the human voice.
Exactly. All right. Perfect. Give me one. We have a minute and a half. 1 minute, I'm sorry. Give us one free tip, if you can, in the minute that we've got. Like, free tip.
Hold on 1 second.
All right.
Custom 19X, I'm going to make it safe. I remove the source of the ammunition first.
Hurry up. We got 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay. Same call to trigger.
Yeah.
See my trigger finger. You've got to learn the trigger reset on your weapon system. So when you pull the trigger, hold it down, cycle the slide, let the trigger back slowly until it resets. There's the click. It resets. I could pull it again. Notice how short my trigger movement was.
Yes.
Learn the reset on your trigger of your weapons. You'll be faster and more accurate.
Free tip of the day. Sam Andrews, Freedom Center USA, HagmanReport.com/training. God bless you, Sam. Thanks for being part of today's program. Apologies to John Moore. We couldn't get him on. But next week, perhaps we will. All right. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
All right. Good night, everyone.